From WNYC in New York, this is NPR's On the Media. Bob Garfield is away. I'm Brooke Gladstone. And by the end of this week, it became known simply as the speech.
A speech like perhaps no other. Hello again,
everybody. The whole world is going to be talking about this speech most of the day today. And we're going to continue talking about it.
Now people are looking for something more concrete. How he does that, I don't know. I think this is sort of the Mount Everest of speeches.
Wow, it was an important speech, and expectations were high, even as the White House worked to tamp them. Watching the speech itself, you got the sense that every word had a cost-benefit analysis behind it. For example, by saying this...
Unlike Afghanistan, Iraq was a war of choice that provoked strong differences in my country and around the world.
Obama prompted this from Fox and Friends.
And the constant apologizing about America to aggrandize his own sort of cult of personality around the world, I don't think is helpful.
But obviously, it drew a very different response from his audience in the region. For every topic he touched, the Iraq war, the Israeli settlements, nuclear weapons, some were thrilled, others angered. And for still others, the speech was notable for words not said. No mention of the human rights records of the Saudi Arabian or Egyptian regimes. Consider the cost-benefit analysis that went into that. And then there was this.
I know there has been controversy about the promotion of democracy in recent years, and much of this controversy is connected to the war in Iraq. So let me be clear. No system of government can or should be imposed by one nation by any other.
The state media picked on the fact that democracy is a principle that cannot be inflicted by external forces. That was the official media picking up on that.
Naila Hamdi is the chair of the journalism department at the American University in Cairo. She says that in Egypt, the authoritarian grip on the media has begun to loosen, that the government seems increasingly willing to tolerate, within undefined and unpredictable limits, multiple news outlets that readily criticize the regime of Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak, who some call a dictator. State media, of course, still tout the official line of the Mubarak regime, which is why they focus specifically on the democracy moment in Obama's speech, the underlying message for them being the Mubarak regime is here to stay. The independent and opposition party papers also focused on that moment, but they had a very different take.
Saying what is going to happen with freedom or freedom of expression or other civil liberties, you know, what's going to happen? Has he abandoned us? You know, so I would say that was one issue that was, at least internally here, was really most cited. I mean, not taking away from, you know, the Arab-Palestinian issue, the Iranian issue, but I think the Arab-Middle East conflict, the Iranian conflict, appeared to be more important to the government. Well, internally, everybody's looking more at democracy, more freedom, more development of civil society.
So break it down according to where the particular news outlet stood politically, how it responded to Obama's speech.
If you look at the Ahram, which is the semi-official and most important newspaper associated to the government, the first headline was Mubarak discusses Middle East regional issues with Obama. How Obama says that Mubarak is a man of great experience and is committed to working together to achieve regional ambitions. So you have that. The whole Egyptian media landscape was more positive than anything else. Even the most opposition type of voices took pride in the fact that he decided to speak from Egypt.
As the sage once said, you know, 90% of success in life is just showing up.
Well, I think that he was right. Because, you know, if you look at the headline of Masri Al-Yom, which is an independent newspaper, it actually says Cairo describes Obama's speech to Muslims as fantastic or incredible, whilst the Brotherhood, referring to the Egypt's Muslim Brotherhood, and Tehran describe it as words of slogans. I think this is a very indicative headline because they put the Brotherhood in the same basket with Tehran and Iran.
They took the opportunity of Obama's speech and the different reactions to it to lump the politically potent Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt with the incredibly unpopular regime in Iran.
And linking them together was very significant.
The Egyptian government allows opposition newspapers and blogs, but it also jails dissidents and opponents. It's kind of like semi-free speech, isn't it? It's been described to us as almost pre-revolutionary.
The way I view it is that it is moving from an authoritarian media to a more liberal one, but is doing so at a slow pace. So therefore, you find more and more alternate voices, more and more independent media. But every once and again, the government will take sort of crab-like steps and they will maybe harass one blogger or arrest one journalist.
So at the moment, nobody really knows what the rules are.
No, the rules have never been 100% clear, not at the moment or at any other moment.
Nyla, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Nyla Hamdi is the chair of the Department of Journalism and Mass Communications at the American University in Cairo.